Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church of Erhard, Minnesota. We are glad that you could join us for this April 12th Sunday worship service. Today, on this Sunday after the resurrection, the second Sunday of Easter, the theme is all about a living Savior. Today, in the midst of our present situation, we hope that this living Savior will connect to you in a very special way as we praise Him, even in the storm. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with all of our needs, all of our cares, all of our worries, and we praise you for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you might grant us faith to evermore trust in him. Amen. We open today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. We'd like to invite you to join us in singing the beautiful hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Worship is found in the book of Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that, whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen.
Let my life praise you. Our Lord calls us, not just on Sunday morning, but every day. And that includes who we are. in fact. Today we come to this Lord with our sin, and we will ask him for his forgiveness, and we will receive it as he has promised. And let's do that together today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God gives us this promise in chapter 1 of the book of 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as it's worded in the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The first reading for today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Verses 1 through 16, the lame beggar healed. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by your own power or piety we have made him walk? By our own power or piety we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all of you." The second reading for today is found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Born again to a living hope. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let us pray. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, O Lord, for spring and summer, for seed and soil, for sunshine and showers, for farms and farmers, and above all, for life and growth from your hand. Bring warmth to our land that once again we may plow and plant. Make us good caretakers of the earth and faithful stewards of your bounty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Phil. I think we heard in those scriptures listed in the lectionary for this second Sunday of Easter that the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, is active. We saw that in the book of Acts with the healing of the lame man. He was healed in the name of the living Christ, and Peter tells us that we have a living hope. So we are excited to hear more about this resurrected Jesus. But before we get there, kids, would invite you to come a little closer to the screen, and we'll do a message for you. Good to see you, kids. Welcome. Well, we're going to talk today about what Jesus did after he was raised from the dead. And one of the first things he did was to meet with his disciples. And these were the disciples who were with him in the garden when he was arrested. And they ran. They were afraid. And they were afraid that they would be arrested and put to death too. So they abandoned Jesus. So when Jesus met them the first time after he was resurrected, what do you think Jesus would say to them after they had run away and left him all alone? Well, he could have said this maybe, "You failed me." And he would have been right to have said that, wouldn't he? Because they did run away and they left him all alone. Or he could have told them, "I told you so," because he had warned them that they would all run away. And they said, "Oh, no, Lord, not us. We'll stick with you to the end." And, of course, that was what Mary Poppins calls a pie crust promise, easily made and easily broken. So he could have said that, "I told you so." Or he could have said this, "Well, I'll give you one more chance, okay? I'll give you one more chance to support me." And of course, we know that probably wouldn't have worked out because we're sinners. We sin every day, and they would have busted that chance probably within the day. But in fact, kids, what Jesus did say to them when he first came to them was, "Peace be with you." Isn't that wonderful? They were afraid. They were still hiding. They were afraid that those who took Jesus and crucified him would be coming for them. So they were hiding, and Jesus came and stood amongst them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And Jesus could do this because of the cross. Because of the cross, Jesus gives us all peace. We don't have to be afraid because of our sin, the way that we've disappointed God when we've broken his law, because Jesus died for all of our sins on the cross. And he says to us, just as he said to the disciples, "Peace be with you." So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you went to the cross, you bore all of our sins, and you paid for them in full. And because of that, we have peace that you give us. We praise and thank you. Amen. Well, as we come before God's Word this morning, let us pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your Word is truth, your Word is Spirit, and we pray now that you would meet us in this Word and enlarge our faith. We ask this in the living and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I hope you're doing well in this time of isolation and self-quarantine. We need to be vigilant about caring for one another during this time. Now, this may mean caring for the people that are in the house with you. It may be your neighbors that you encounter when you're out walking or across the backyard. Or it may be someone that you talk to on the phone. We need to think about what's called the ministry of presence. Now, let me explain a little bit about that. First of all, when we practice the ministry of presence, we want to simply be with the person that's having trouble. Now, this may be physically with them. If they're in the house, you can sit next to them, or it may be standing at least 6 feet away, but listening to them, or it may be a presence on the phone, a voice, an ear on the other end of the telephone line. And we want to allow them to show emotions as they speak. We don't want to halt that or squash it. We want to let them get it out. That's very important. Allow them to show their emotions and to speak. And that may mean you have to give them a little silence to gather themselves. And then listen to them. Listen and understand them in their situation, okay? Just listen. Be patient. Don't think about what you're going to say. Listen to what they're saying. That's what they need. And finally, we want to make sure that we acknowledge their situation acknowledge their trouble and their pain that they're expressing to you. Don't say, oh, no, no, don't feel like that. That won't help. Just say, I understand. I hear you. Acknowledge that. But today, and these are good practices, but today, in light of the resurrection, we want to acknowledge that Jesus is the ultimate ministry of presence. He has a better ministry of presence than we can ever offer. And so along with being with them and allowing them to express themselves and listening carefully and acknowledging them, we want to bring Jesus into this also. So in our text for this second Sunday of Easter, we pick up the Easter story when it left off last week. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Now this morning I want to share with you three things that the Lord Jesus' ministry of presence provides us with. The first, and we will put at the top heading of all of these three points, because he is the living Lord. Well, because he is the living Lord, we have his peace in the midst of fear. Now, we know Jesus' disciples were hiding behind closed doors out of fear. They were fear that they were the next on the hit list. So they were very afraid, and we can kind of connect with this sentiment. We're going through something right now where we're kind of hiding out in our homes too. We go out, but when we go out, there's a whole protocol we go. We maybe wipe down with sanitizer the things we bring home. We certainly wash our hands, and now we're wearing masks out in public. So we can connect with this kind of attitude of fear. But Jesus came to them in the midst of their fear. He walked right in there. He didn't wait for them to stop being afraid before they could become worthy of his presence. No, he came to them in the midst of this fear. And you know what came along with Jesus? Peace. He brought that peace with him. Did you count how many times in this text Jesus said, "Peace be with you"? He knew what they needed, and he knows what we need too. So peace comes with his presence, the risen Savior. And so we can conclude here that because he lives, we can invite him to inhabit our fears. We don't have to get it all together before we invite Jesus into our situation. We can say, "Jesus, I need you right now. I'm in need." Well, the second thing we want to point out is because he is the living Lord, we have his peace to proclaim. Jesus' peace is meant to be shared. He calls us to go to those who are in fear also. Jesus gives us peace to look beyond even our fear of rejection, because he has accepted us and made us his friends and his children through his forgiveness and resurrection. We need not fear the rejection of people. We have all the acceptance we need. Jesus gives us his Spirit then to meet our immediate needs with his immediate provision. Just remember that when you're maybe having a conversation that you feel is heading in a spiritual way. Jesus has got your back. And so we could conclude that because he lives, he is the best friend we can offer to those who are struggling, those who we want to minister to. Let them express themselves. Listen to them. But remember that Jesus is the best friend that they can have. The third thing, because he is the living Lord, we have peace over our doubt. All of us wrestle with this from time to time. We all struggle at times to live in our world as a person of faith. We even have questions that other people don't ask because we have faith. Because we believe God is sovereign and he's still on the throne, we might say, God, why? Why are you allowing this? And God accepts those questions as questions of faith. But he lives to inhabit our doubts also. No one knows this more than Jesus, who comes to us to show us himself. That's the power of the Thomas part of this story. Jesus came to Thomas personally, even though Thomas had expressed his doubt openly to the other disciples. I will not believe. And what did Jesus do? He came to Thomas personally. You see, it's our calling to proclaim Jesus in word and deed, and it's the Lord's calling to prove himself. You see, we cannot make people believe. We may want them to believe, but we don't have that power. We can just be a witness to God's power. Making people believe, this is Jesus' work through his Holy Spirit. So we could say, because he lives, we can invite him into our doubt and call upon him to make himself real to others. Remember, the most honest prayer, I think, in Scripture is the man who came to Jesus looking for help in Mark chapter 9. And the Lord challenged him a bit. And do you know what he said? He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And of course, Jesus acknowledged his faith and answered his prayer. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, we've come to something that we want to talk about, the nature of believing. Jesus told Thomas, after he showed himself to Thomas personally, he said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, first of all, Jesus does not scold Thomas, but Jesus came to him and showed him. But here's the application point from what Jesus said to Thomas. If Jesus is so willing to come to us, we can give him a chance to show himself to us. I want to talk about this a little bit more. You see, Jesus turned to those who would not have what Jesus or what Thomas had. We often say, well, wouldn't it be great if Jesus would just come to me personally and show himself to me? Then I would believe. But remember what Jesus said. These things are written, referring to Scripture, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus has shown himself to us personally in this book we call the Bible. He has given us His Word, He has given us His promises that we can pick up on a daily basis and read and reread and take these things to heart. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So Jesus does show Himself to us. So because He lives, we can take a chance. We can take a chance on trusting Him. I don't know where you're at today, in your health, in your family situation, in your finances. We all have needs, and Jesus comes to us now personally. You know, there's a beautiful story in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew 15, it's about a Canaanite woman who dared cross the borders of a country, the borders of gender, of class, of culture, ethnicity. She hopped over all of these fences to find Jesus. Her daughter was demon-possessed, and she needed help. She was desperate, and she was convinced that Jesus could help her. And even though she was rebuffed by the disciples, and she was put to the test by Jesus, who didn't answer her right away, and then said, "It's not fair to give the children's bread to the dogs," and she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table." She just pressed in on Jesus because of her need. We might connect with that right now. She was convinced that Jesus could help her. And I want to read for you a quote from one of my favorite theologians, Helmut Thielicke. This is what he says about the Canaanite woman. He says, "One must dare to come to Jesus even at the risk of being disappointed. Had the Canaanite woman stayed home and therefore not ventured to cross the border, had she told herself that there was no point in going, then Jesus would be no less the Christ, but she would never have entered the sphere of His blessing and would have remained hopeless and alone." My friends, if you take one look at the cross today, you will know that this Savior has your best interests in mind. Give Him a chance. Let us pray. Lord, I know that it is not my great faith that triumphs over my struggles, but it is the reality of the presence of Your willing heart shown to me in Your victory for me on the cross, and delivered to me in Your resurrection. Lord, I simply show You my empty hands and trust that You are the one who has promised to be with me, to give me bread and not stones. Give me the yet of faith so that when it seems as though You are silent, I may yet cling to You as the one who is present with me. Lord, in Your mercy, hear my prayer.
Please join with us in singing together, "It Is Well With My Soul." With my soul.
Thank you, Amy and Dacia. Today, as we bring our service to a close, we want to close with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, come to us now in the midst of our present situation. We thank you that you have proven to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are worthy of our trust and our faith. So, Lord, come now, inhabit our fears, inhabit our uncertainties, inhabit our stress. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also lift up those who are struggling right now with any kind of health issue. We pray that you would meet them in their trial. We pray, Lord, that you would give the peace of your presence and your healing to them. Lord, we pray for those who are on the front line of this pandemic. We think especially, first of all, of the medical personnel who are exposing themselves daily to this deadly virus. Lord, watch over them, keep them safe, keep their families safe as they go home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray also for those who are working to provide us with gasoline and groceries and our medicines and other things we need. Lord, watch over them too as they go to work on a daily basis, exposing themselves to a wide range of public. Lord, watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift our own hearts up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, God's peace be with you in a very special way today. And I pray that you have been blessed by this service, and now receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our ever-present Lord. Thanks be to God.